Do you remember when joy entered your house? What is he talking about? I remember that morning, the day after I surrendered my life to Christ. And that morning was different than all the others. That morning, I couldn't get to the word fast enough. I couldn't stop from praying and seeking the Lord and thanking Him for saving me, for His grace, for His love, for His compassion. I couldn't believe it. It was surreal. It was as if I was a whole new man. The reason for that is because I was a new creation. I had not heard 2 Corinthians 5:17 just yet, but I knew it personally. Do you remember when joy entered your house? You saw the sunset a little bit different, the sunrise. You saw other people a little different. I definitely saw the church different. Because before that, I wanted nothing to do with it. And now it was weird. It was weird because within my heart, I longed to be with the church. I wanted to be with the church. I couldn't get enough of being with the church. My desires changed. There was so much. Do you remember when joy entered your house? We're going to be in Luke chapter 19. And this is the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. There was a moment when Zacchaeus came down, received Jesus, and joy entered his home. Let's read Luke chapter 19, verse 1. It says, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Oh, Father, what a wonderful story. What a wonderful account of the love that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, there is no distance we can travel that you cannot find us. There is no heart too hard that you can't soften. There's no pit too deep that your hand of grace cannot reach down and pull us up from. You desire that none perish, but that all reach repentance. And Lord, this is an illustration of that very thing, that very desire of yours, as I have no doubt. I have no doubt, Lord, that the sole purpose of you going through Jericho was to save. It was just two men it is. A poor blind beggar on the side of the road, and a man who climbed a sycamore tree to catch a glimpse of you. Both really despised by the world and yet loved by you. Truly, you have demonstrated your love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you, Lord, for your grace is indeed sufficient. It is sufficient for salvation, sufficient for ourselves in this time to you, Lord. We ask that you would speak to us. May we truly be attentive to the things that come from you, that you would help us understand by your Spirit, that you would teach us all things. Stir us up, Father, and lead us to salvation for those who don't know salvation in Jesus Christ. And may we who are saved, Lord, be stirred up and encouraged, Lord, reminded of the love that you have for us and for others. May we have that same mind and heart, desiring that none perish, but that all reach repentance, so that we may be instruments, Lord, that we may be those vessels filled with your Spirit to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to all who would lend an ear to us. So, Father, we commit this time into your hands, Lord, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So the name Zacchaeus, the meaning of that name means righteous one or pure one, which is actually quite opposite of what Zacchaeus actually was. As far as the world was concerned, the people around him that knew Zacchaeus would say he is unrighteous and he is defiled. They could not consider Zacchaeus a righteous one. But what they could have considered Zacchaeus is a traitor, a first-class traitor of the Jewish people. You see, this was a man who worked for the government. He worked for the Romans. He collected taxes from his countrymen for the sake of Rome. And so he would be a hated man by the Jewish people. And he wasn't just any tax collector, but he was the chief tax collector. A man who was trusted by the Romans and had gotten rich by overtaxing the people of Israel. He was lining his pockets with the money that he overcharged his countrymen with. A man who was despised, a man who had gotten rich by ripping off his kinsmen. He was a rich traitor. You think about it, this is no different than a person today who works for the government in some way and would either leverage their position to squeeze more money out of Americans in order to dishonestly make money for themselves, or someone who would use their position to oppress or leverage by manipulation, deception, perhaps their constituents, for personal advancement. No different. Think of the people who were in high places and despised. And you would understand who Zacchaeus was in the midst of the Jewish people. A man who was hated, despised. Publican. And yet, God extended his hand of grace to him. Listen, just as he had blessed a man who is poor and blind, a roadside beggar, so we here see Jesus with a despised, dishonest, greedy, rich man whom he also desired to bless. Although Zacchaeus was a hated renegade in the eyes of the Jews, he was a precious lost sinner in the eyes of Jesus. Think about that. And I am so glad that that is how Jesus looks at the world today. Because I, at one point, was one of those. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Yes, Jesus desires that even the tax collectors come to know salvation. There's a gasp with the people. What? Jesus is actually desiring to receive this man? Does he not know who he is? Just as he desired the hated, immoral, murderous Ninevites to be warned and to come to believe and repent in the days of Jonah, so he desires that all people repent and believe in Jesus Christ. There is no one here and in the world today that God doesn't desire to reach to and lead into repentance. There's not one. To turn from their wicked ways, believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, and turn to God. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so there is no place where the arm of God's grace cannot reach. No one is too lost for God to find. No one is too far gone to come back to Jesus. No one has done too much to be forgiven. No heart is too hard for God to soften. No son or daughter is too lost for God to rescue. So, Father, Mother, keep praying. Keep praying because you are praying in line with God's will. There's nothing that anyone can do that would exempt them from salvation if they were to, at one moment, surrender their lives, repent of their sin, and believe on Jesus Christ. They would not be exempt. You see, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. This was the very thing that he came to do, of which he is able to and desires to save all. And yet, it breaks the heart of God that not all are willing or want to be saved. But we're going to take a look at Zacchaeus, and what I pray through this is that you would be encouraged by this beautiful story of redemption, of this man who is hated by the world and yet loved by God. So verse 1 again. We see here that Zacchaeus desired to see Jesus. Verse 1 once more says, "He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich." And so we know that Jesus was going through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And as he was going through Jericho, there was this man, a chief tax collector. He's described as being a rich man. It says in verse 3, "And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature." So in other words, he was short. And he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. This man, Zacchaeus. Remember, a Roman official, a man of position, power, wealth. And yet, at the same time, one of the most despised men in Israel. Oh, he was a chief tax collector. He was personally rich. And yet he was seeking to catch a glimpse of Jesus. As he went through Jericho, he wanted to just catch a glimpse. Now, let me explain to you and describe to you what we have in Jericho. Jericho as a city was world-renowned. It was famous throughout the world. Jericho was a beautiful city known for its palm groves, its balsam groves, which were fragrant. It reminds me of the times of old in Grand Terrace. The year is 1975, and the citrus trees are in blossom. And then there's this slight breeze that comes down and brings all of that beautiful fragrance and rolls it throughout all the homes in Grand Terrace. I grew up with that. I remember, if you know Grand Terrace, the last street of civilization was Pico. Beyond that, it was just a wall of eucalyptus trees, and on the other side of that, it was all citrus. All around it was citrus. On between Blue Mountain and the junior high, it was all citrus. In fact, we would have, as kids, orange fights in there. The orange grower didn't like that, but it was just such a beautiful time. But the fragrance, I remember that. Beautiful. Well, Jericho was known to have this fragrance that came from the balsam trees, the groves that it had. At this point, Jericho, I remember going to Israel and traveling by Jericho and looking out. And as far as the eye could see the groves of palms, palm trees. As far as you could see. There was something else that it was known for, and that is its rose gardens. Beautiful, second to none. Beautiful rose gardens. And so because of this, it was enjoyed by many people throughout the world. They would come through. It was a prominent city. It was a common trade route. And this was also the road to Jerusalem from Galilee, from where Jesus was coming from and where Jesus was going to. And in that city, there was this man who was the chief tax collector, who was despised by everyone but the Romans. And yet, Jesus was seeking to save him. But at this moment, this man Zacchaeus, this despised man, was seeking to see who Jesus was, to catch a glimpse. But of course, the crowd was too big, it was too wide, too thick, and he was too small. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. You know the song? But Zacchaeus, if you could just for a moment, just imagine. Here was a man who was longing to see, to catch a glimpse of Jesus. He was a man who, as we know him to be a rich man, he did and would do anything that he could possibly do in order to get ahead. And so certainly at this moment, as he practiced that initiative, he was doing it with the right motive. He was doing it, finally, with the right reason, the right heart. And see, so he ran ahead. He saw the crowds. You can just imagine the crowds were moving at such a pace, and he wanted to outpace them and run ahead and get up on this sycamore tree so that he could get high enough so he could look over the crowd and look into the crowd and see Jesus, just catch a glimpse of him. Zacchaeus desired to see Jesus. Oh, if there would be just a few more Zacchaeuses in this world today. that would hear of the things of Jesus would run out ahead of the crowds and would just desire to catch just a glimpse. Like, who would give him a glimpse of Jesus? Would you? Would you? Because that's what it is today. When people desire to see a glimpse of Jesus, perhaps you're the only one that's going to give them that glimpse of Jesus. That will lay before that person the gospel of Jesus Christ and help them see him for who he is. What this man did to get a look at Jesus was undignified. A wealthy grown man who was a government official running to climb a tree was not something you would commonly see. It was like a child running along a parade, climbing on whatever would allow him to get high enough to catch a glimpse of the participants in the parade, even if he perhaps even had to climb a tree. You know, kids, there's some that just can't get enough of climbing trees. But for a grown man in his position, this would be undignified. Below him, in other words. But obviously, as he did this, he didn't care if he was laughed at. He only cared to catch a glimpse of Jesus. Perhaps we ought to care less of what others think, what others say about us. To carry our Bibles, to read our Bibles, study our Bibles, to talk about our Bibles, to talk about our Lord, our Savior, to say amen, to say God bless you. To ask if there's anything that we could pray for them about. To be unashamed. To care less of what other people think. To care less about what others say about us. And instead do whatever it takes to get a better look at Jesus. To draw closer to him. To come closer to him and see him clearly. And then help others to do the very same thing. There are many among us who are all too sophisticated, too intellectual, too smart to lower themselves to seek Jesus in such a way. In other words, to become like a child in curiosity and simplicity. In fact, that's how those people started, by being curious, by being simple, that is, in trusting and learning and growing and applying, believing and doing. Zacchaeus was certainly curious. And he actually, in the moment, if you can imagine, he became unaware of his status for the moment. He was unaware of who he was. No one remind him, please, right? No one remind the man who just completely humbles himself before God and is undignified in his worship of God. Don't remind him of who he is. Because too many people are well aware of who they are. In the eyes of the world, something great. Before God, perhaps they should humble themselves. For the one that humbles himself will be lifted up by God. Luke 18:17, he became like a child. Listen, truly I say to you, and we already went through this, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Curiosity, simplicity, faith, belief, trust. Zacchaeus in the moment, if you will, we've already gone through that in Luke chapter 17. Right? Truly I say to you, these are Jesus' words, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And here is this man who has become like a child. He is curious. He wants to catch a glimpse of Jesus. He is undignified. He is unaware of his prominence, of his position and power, his possessions. It all doesn't mean anything in the moment. Zacchaeus became like a child, a sort of preparation for the faith to be exercised by him. Verse 5, we continue, says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully." You can just imagine, he had gone ahead, he had made sure that he was well ahead of the crowd so that he could climb up on this sycamore tree and catch a glimpse of Jesus. And when he finally came by, Jesus came by at his very point of climbing the tree, the very place. Zacchaeus, not wanting to miss him, Zacchaeus, well, he had the eyes of Christ on him. He had the eyes of Christ on him. And what did Jesus do? He turned to him and he called him by name. Jesus, or Zacchaeus, wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus wanted Zacchaeus to know him. Not just to see Jesus, catch a glimpse of him, but to know him intimately, to know him personally. But first, Jesus, what he revealed to Zacchaeus is that he knew him personally. You know, God knows each and every one of you personally. Intimately. He knows everything about you. So Jesus stopped. He looked up to Zacchaeus. He called him by name. Told him, "Get down. Come down from the tree, because today," Jesus said, "I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus thought he was seeking Jesus, but Jesus was seeking him. For we know that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Just as today, it is the work of the Spirit to draw men unto Jesus. In John chapter 16, verse 8, "The work of the Spirit, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The work of the Spirit. God draws all men unto himself. It is the work of the Spirit to bring conviction and to draw men unto the Lord, to point people to Jesus. But the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, of which one was Zacchaeus, that was upon a tree and was called down. And Jesus could have spoken to Zacchaeus from where he was. "Zacchaeus, I know who you are. You're the chief tax collector. You're despised by all of these people here. But you see, as Jesus called on Zacchaeus, it was up to Zacchaeus to come down. It was up to Zacchaeus to come to him. It was up to Zacchaeus to receive Jesus. Jesus was interested in knowing Zacchaeus personally, and that Zacchaeus to know him with a genuine relationship. And so Zacchaeus' response, he immediately came down and he received Jesus joyfully, is what we see here. What I couldn't help but think is, what Was there anything prior to, and we don't have this, of course, but we do know that Levi was a tax collector. Was Levi a friend of Zacchaeus? Do you think perhaps Levi told Zacchaeus about Jesus? We don't know. But we know that a friend who knows Jesus will tell other friends about Jesus. And so what did Jesus do? What did God do to prepare Zacchaeus' heart for this very moment? Obviously, he had heard something about Jesus. Did God prepare Zacchaeus for Jesus by showing him the emptiness of trusting in money and his possessions? You know, sometimes God prepares you for the things that are deeper in God, to trust him a little bit more by showing you the emptiness of idolatry, whatever you trust in, whether it be money, possessions, cars, comfort, whatever it is. I couldn't help but think, how is it that God had prepared Zacchaeus' heart for this very moment? God has prepared your heart for this very moment. Well, of course, we don't know these things as far as Zacchaeus is concerned. But I ask these questions because God desires to prepare our hearts in some amazing ways in order to respond to him, to walk with him, to trust in him, to hope in him, to see the world for what it is, and to see Jesus for who he is. So Zacchaeus, in that moment, he understood. And what happened with Zacchaeus is that he didn't care about his money. He didn't care about his position. He didn't care about his possessions. He didn't care about any of that. And his response, well, he hurried down from the tree and he received Jesus joyfully. What happened from there, we see in verse 7. It says, and when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. We know that the people despised, again, the tax collectors, right? And especially the chief tax collector, Zacchaeus, this man, despised. And here we have an expression from them, right? As they were besides himself, as Jesus agreed to go with them to his house, to break bread is what this means. He wanted to go have a meal with Zacchaeus. And they said, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. Sinner. Sometimes, you know, that's the way we can respond. We can act with others. Of which you were once among. They were fine with Jesus until he went into the house of Zacchaeus, a man who was a sinner. But in spite, here's the thing, is we need to keep our eyes on the Lord and keep our eyes on Zacchaeus, right? These two, this is the interaction that we have. The crowd is simply that which is going to come in opposition to us or anyone else coming to the Lord. We know that. This is how it happens. The world, the crowds around us will despise that moment. It's fine. Oh, his teachings, they're good, you know. But once you start making your move to Jesus and are at that point of surrendering your life to him, the crowds will oppose you. As they oppose Jesus, they will oppose you. But in spite of what the people were saying, Zacchaeus was paying them no attention. Zacchaeus, instead, he simply received Jesus. And what he did next is absolutely amazing. He said, I'll give half of all I have to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, I will restore it to them fourfold. Can you imagine at that moment, Jesus pulling out a scroll that is about 20 feet long and going, those are about the number of people that you've defrauded. Restore to them fourfold. Of course, he already knew. Zacchaeus already knew. And yet this is what Zacchaeus was in this moment. He was willing to do. He says, hey, I will give half of everything that I have to the poor, and I will restore to anyone whom I have defrauded fourfold. Let me ask you this. Do you see anywhere in between the people saying what they said, Jesus calling Zacchaeus down from the tree and telling him that today he must go with them into his house, in between then and now, that Jesus or anyone else told him, hey, this is what you have to do? Not one, right? Not one word. Not one word. You see, this is fruit. This is the fruit of repentance. This is what happens when a person genuinely receives Jesus. Repentance takes effect. Ephesians 4:25 through 32. If you're taking notes, jot that down. We're not going to go to it, but I am referring to Ephesians 4:25 through 32. It is a putting off and a putting on. Stop lying and start telling the truth. Stop stealing. And instead be generous. Instead of stealing, Zacchaeus repented and gave generously. So the question is, can someone change this radically? Did you? It's only if you acknowledge and you understand that no matter how good you are, there's always plenty to give over to the Lord and repent of. The radical transformation is a new heart, new desire. Listen, I remember I told you that the morning after I surrendered my life to Christ, it was a time when joy entered my house, when I was a completely new creation. There was a radical transformation, and those that I worked with can attest to that. Because I remember them Monday morning, them saying, who are you? Wednesday, normally, we would go to the local bar. So they asked me, hey, Montana, are you going to the bar? No, I'm not going to the bar. What? Radical. A radical transformation. In fact, just yesterday, just talking with my wife, Bettina, about BC days before Christ. And she told me, I'm glad I didn't know you during that time. Like, I was worse than she knew me as. And she couldn't imagine that. Radical transformation, yes. Radical transformation. Here's the thing. No one told me to stop cussing. No one told me, hey, you should stop cussing. I already knew that was out. No one told me to stop smoking. No one told me to stop drinking. I knew those things were vices. Those are the things that were of the world. And I had wanted no part of the world. No one had to tell me those things. Oh, these are the rules now. You're a Christian. So here, follow these right here. And those of you who do not like these rules, perhaps it's because you're buying into a religion, not a relationship. Right? Because his laws, his statutes, his word is not burdensome to the one who is truly his genuine child. No one told me quit partying either. No one told me to start reading the Bible. I didn't have to go through a foundations class. Oh, I'm supposed to read my Bible. I didn't know that. No one told me to start praying. I didn't have to go through the basics of Christianity to now have a desire for these things. Nobody told me, hey, you ought to fellowship. Why? Because I desired to fellowship. I didn't even know what fellowship was. I just want to hang out with you guys. I want to know what you know. Sing songs? I know I was singing songs unto the Lord. Start serving. I remember when they announced, this was the Jesus video. I think it's taken from Luke. It was narrated, I don't know if you remember, these VHS tapes. And I remember them saying, hey, we need people to go around the neighborhoods and pass these out. This was in San Diego, and go out. No one told me I had to start serving. No one. I'm telling you this because sometimes we seem to try and get away with as much as we possibly can. What do I need to do to really be a Christian and still appear to be saved? Right? And salvation just moves you. You live sacrificially. You give yourself joyfully. Joy has entered this house. I am God's. He has saved me. He's forgiven me of all my sins. I owe him my life. It doesn't belong to me anymore. I understood this. This is what happened to Zacchaeus. That's what happened here. Zacchaeus, in fact, if you paid attention, Zacchaeus, you see how he addressed Jesus? Not just Jesus of Nazareth now. Lord. Lord. And cheerfully said he would make things right with those he had defrauded. This was just a response that he had. I remind you about the story of the rich young ruler who approached Jesus and asked him what he must do to inherit eternal life. And so we know the story. He went through and he knew he had to observe the commandments, the Ten Commandments. He said, I've observed them from my youth. And then he said, because Jesus knew his heart, he said, one thing you still lack, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. But he wasn't willing to do away with any of that and follow Jesus. And yet Zacchaeus realized he had everything and yet had nothing. There's the contrast there, right? A difference. He realized, in fact, that he was a poor man without Jesus. At this point, he was joyfully giving it all away that he may please the one whom he now called Lord. And then Jesus addressed Zacchaeus, and he speaks, saying in verse 9, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. From sinner to saved. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus' repentance was genuine, his faith sincere. It was evident. It was evident that he was once lost but was now found. He was in bondage to the things of the world but was now set free from power, position, possessions, guilt. The people were referring to Zacchaeus as a sinner, but now Jesus was referring to him as saved. The rich young ruler went away sorrowful, but Zacchaeus walked away filled with joy. Truly, as Jesus said in Luke 18:27, what is impossible with man is possible with God. That's the whole point that Jesus was making with his disciples. You know, if a man relies on his own devices, his own efforts, his own strength, it's impossible. He will never know salvation. But with God, all things are possible, even salvation. To be forgiven of your sins because Jesus died on the cross for you and paid for them in full. But not only did Jesus affirm Zacchaeus as a Jew, as we read there, today salvation has come to this house since he also is a son of Abraham. But also, listen, a son of faith. In Romans chapter 4, verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes, "Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised?" It was not after, but before he was circumcised. "He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised." He was now counted. He was being addressed as a son in the faith. A son of faith. He was doing much more than affirming Zacchaeus' Jewishness, you know, before the crowds, before the people, and to him, perhaps. But rather, that he was a true son in the faith, affirming his salvation. Zacchaeus went from sinner to saved and was radically changed from the inside out. He received a new heart and was radically transformed. He was a new creation in Christ. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." You can say that Zacchaeus was just like the blind man, who was hopeless without Jesus. And just as the poor blind beggar was desperate for Jesus, we see that Zacchaeus was desperate for Jesus as well. They both perceived the urgency in seeking Jesus and coming to know salvation by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. What if I told you that tomorrow was not going to come? For those who are in Christ, you would say hallelujah, absolutely. We would say a hearty hallelujah, wouldn't we? But what if you don't know Christ? I pray that you would have the same sense of urgency. I explained it last week as we went through the story of the poor blind beggar on the side of the road. Pray the same would be true of you, that we see in both him and Zacchaeus there was a sense of urgency. That you would come to faith, that you would come to believe, surrender your life to Jesus Christ, acknowledging your sin before God, but also acknowledging his grace, his offer of salvation through Jesus Christ, by his grace through faith in him. That today would be the day of salvation. And if that is indeed you this morning, please come up. Because we need to acknowledge, we need to confess Jesus openly and publicly. And so at the close of the service, I would implore you, if you are surrendering your life to Jesus Christ today, come up and let it be known. That way we may pray for you and encourage you. Zacchaeus made it public. There is nothing private about it. Nothing private. He was openly a believer in Jesus Christ. His home was different. His life was different. Everything about him was different because he had come to know the forgiveness of his sins. He had an encounter with a Redeemer. And he was freed from his condemnation and sin. So, come down off your lofty perch. Hurry. Jesus is passing by, and you may not get another chance to receive him. No more glimpses. No more looks. May today be the day of salvation for you. So receive him joyfully. Know salvation in him. And rejoice, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.